Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
The long wait is almost over. The wait, long. Our reward, a Battle of Alberta Saturday night. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 101. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, here every single week to talk Calgary Flames hockey with you. And yeah, it's been a long week and we're still at Thursday. So we still have two more nights before we drop the puck 48 hours from now, actually, from when we are recording this one live. Will the wait pay off? I don't know. I mean, Sutter said they had a good week of practice. Some guys got some time off, which was good after an overly hectic preseason. So I don't know. Probably a good thing in the long run here. I guess we'll see Saturday night. Huh? We'll all have our opinions if it was good or bad. Hockey is going. It started on Tuesday night. Tuesday night I watched Vegas win. I watched the Canucks Oilers last night and, ooh man, was that a damn good hockey game. And, watched a little bit of the Ottawa Senators Maple Leafs tonight too. And that was, also a lot of fun. That Ottawa team, as I watched them a lot beat us last year, I saw good things and I watched again tonight and I really like the direction that team's going, and now they add Pinto as a rookie to the mix, and oh, it's going to be good this year. This year's going to really be the year of the rookies. There's a ton of them this year, and youth is really going to own the league this year with so many people talking about Caulfield, Spencer Knight, the McTavish boy in Anaheim, Bowen Byram, Pinto. There is just a ton of rookies that are going to be dynamic this year and take some teams that maybe we didn't think were going to be successful to another level. And it's fun to see the youth. Just wish maybe we had a little bit more in Calgary right now, but time will tell on that. We'll see how Connor Zary does here in the near future, hopefully. Another thing that was good with watching hockey again is all the people in the arenas. You know, we thought the bubble was great when they came back, and it was, because we needed hockey. And to watch and see, you know, last year the some games having some fans minimal, and then as fans got back in, but boy, was it good to see some Canadian teams play last night and see fans in the crowd. And it's going to be great on Monday night when we see fans in Calgary again. And it's part of the healing process, and damn if it's long overdue in my mind. We need to keep rolling on and, be safe, but we need to have, entertainment and fans and our sports and all those good things that we have come to know and love. Well, on this episode, it's another good one. It's another busy one. We're going to touch base on the final preseason game versus Winnipeg. That'll only be very, very quick. And then we'll roll into some player predictions and some team predictions for the Flames this year. And then we'll talk some Flames news from the Pacific Division. And we'll wrap with a Facebook poll tonight on where the fans think that the Calgary Flames will finish in the standings. I don't know if the results were a little bit about what I thought they were going to be, but pretty interesting. Albeit though, Saturday night Flames Oilers Battle of Alberta gets the season underway. Then Monday night, the home opener versus Anaheim. The season is finally here, and thank goodness it is with fans. All right, Flames fans, let's
quickly.
We're going to quickly do this. Let's recap that final preseason game. Friday night, October 8th. Calgary wins 3-1. Goals from Mangiapane, Monahan, Lindholm. Markstrom goes the full way, stopping 22 of 23. I like what I've seen out of him in the preseason. I like what I've seen out of Monahan in the preseason. Pretty evenly matched game against the Jets, and who cares? It doesn't matter anymore. A good tune-up, and I think it's time. I think it's time to get ready for Saturday night. All right, Flames fans, let's talk the first section of the show. We're going to talk about player predictions. And it's going to be interesting this year because when we talked about the Flames prior to camp, we talked about a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of, you know, what'll happen with this guy? Where is this going to go? Who is he going to have a bounce back year? What many forget in the year that we won the Western Conference a few years ago, we had almost every player have career years. Well, last year, sadly, we had a number of them have career low years. Well, anytime that happens, you're not going to have a successful season. But where does that lead us into this year? And what players are going to have to step it up to be able to get us to the level of making the playoffs and maybe winning a round or two? So I sat and took a look at just some key questions on who's going to produce and who's not going to produce this year. My prediction for the Flames' leading goal scorer this year, and a lot of you are going to maybe shake your head. I'll probably get some hate mail on this one. Who knows what? You guys will probably write me a new one for this one, but that's okay. I got Sean Monahan. I think he's going to have 36 goals this year. That would be a career high for him. He's finally healthy. Hopefully, I think he'll stay healthy just because it's his time. He's due to stay healthy. He's going to have a hell of a year, I think. He's going to score 36 goals for this Flames team, and that is going to be huge. Huge, huge, huge. Who will the Flames' leading point leader be? I think it's going to be Elias Lindholm with 78 this year. He's consistent. He's going to get the opportunity, whether it be on the power play or centering that first line, I think. And I think Lindholm is going to have another good year, whether he's playing with Gaudreau and Monahan or whether he's centering the Tkachuk-Coleman line that we've yet to see, but really, really, really want to see. So what prospect is going to make an impact this year? Well, I thought about it. You know, there's a lot of easy answers. Some people would maybe say, well, Walker Duehr is going to get some time and stuff. And I think he will get his chance. And even more people would say, well, Glenn Godden, because he's going to get a chance for sure. I'm going to go on a limb on this one. And this is actually kind of a frustrating area because it scares the hell out of me because I look through our prospect pool and I don't see the guys that are going to be breaking into the lineup like I see in other markets. And that scares me. We have a few that are maybe a year or two away. But, you know, you'd think you'd have one guy every year or somebody pushing the barrier. And this year, I think the guy that's going to actually step into the lineup, going to get some time, albeit probably because of an injury, but we'll take it anyway. Connor Mackey is going to be a prospect that's going to surprise us with his stability on the back end for a young player, and that's a good thing. I think he'll get a chance, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. Which player is poised for a breakout year? Well, I don't know if you can call this a breakout year because I'm not the only one probably predicting this. And I know a lot of people would say, well, it's Mangiapane. And I think he'll have a decent year, but I think Dylan Dubé is going to hit that 40-point mark. And I think he's going to be the guy that really takes that leap this year into solidifying his spot, you know, in the top nine on this roster and bringing us quality depth through the lineup. whether he's in the second or the third line, it's going to add depth for us. And that's definitely going to help. And I expect a big season from Dylan Dubé. The biggest surprise this year, as far as players go, I'm going to go with one that may shock a lot of people also. I think Tyler Pitlick is going to be a solid bottom six player for us. And also, again, just add that stability that we need in the bottom six. I liked what I saw in the, albeit, was it a period of preseason game before he got hurt? But I liked it. I think he's going to be just fine for us. I think he's going to do, I think he'll help us out a tremendous amount. And just giving us that speed on the wing, he's a bigger body, can play physical. I look for big things from him, and maybe I'm naming him just because nobody else is talking about him at all. So I think he'll be a surprise. Our biggest disappointment this year, and I hate to say it because last year I had him pegged as our biggest surprise, I'm worried about Yusuf Alamaki. Not that I think that he can't do this and that he can't solidify a top six or top four spot on our back end. I do. I think he's full of talent. I think he's got two things working against him right now. I think he's questioning himself. I think his confidence is wavering a bit. And I don't know that he's fallen into good graces with Sutter. And that's definitely not going to help him. Now, Sutter's not a dumb guy, and he's not going to just push this young player to the side and not give him a chance. We're already hearing with practices this week that it looks like Valimaki will get a spot in the top six on Saturday night. But it'll be interesting to see how he progresses this year. Now, I pray I'm wrong on this one, and I don't want him to be our disappointment. I want him to be our surprise. If he could solidify himself in our top four, think about what that does for this organization, how huge that will be. We'll see. I unfortunately have to put him down for the biggest disappointment. Trophy candidates. Is there anybody on the Flames this year that can win a trophy? And I talked about this on my other podcast, the Debate Hockey Podcast, and I've got Jacob Markstrom pegged as a Vezina candidate. I just feel like that game against Vancouver last year where he came out of the net and things went haywire. I feel, obviously that's in the past now. I love the way he's played in the preseason, and I think he's gonna bounce back and regain his form, and that's a good thing. He's a critical part. Let's put it this way. If he doesn't have a good year, we don't make the playoffs. But he's my candidate. I do. I think he's going to get Vezina talk this year. Bold predictions. I came up with four crazy bold predictions, and then we're going to get into, what I think each player is going to do. I think a bold prediction is going to be that the fans will realize that Zadorov is an asset to this team and that his physical presence will pay dividends down the stretch run, and especially if we get into the playoffs. Bold prediction number two. Johnny Gaudreau will not re-sign in Calgary, and the Flames will lose him for nothing. I'm going to be pissed off if this is what happens, but I feel like our chances of getting something for him now have already passed. And that sucks. That sucks. Markstrom will regain his old form. We just talked about that. And I also believe that we're going to see as the season goes that Tanev will be the true leader of this team. He has all the qualities. He has all the qualities that there can be. I just hope that it all comes to fruition, because I do think that Tanev, you can already tell, like, and this is not a knock on Hanifin at all, because I think Hanifin and Anderson are going to be great, because I love what we've seen of Anderson so far in the preseason. But man, I just think Tanev is setting himself up, to definitely be a leader on this team. And that's really a good sign. Let's talk about these players and who's projected, and who I think is going to be have a better year this year or a worse year. The Hockey News comes out every year with their Fantasy Pool magazine. It lists what they think each player is going to have for points. Well, I took a look at that, and I went through all the Flames, and I'll tell you what they projected, then I'll tell you if I think they're going to get more or less than that. The first one is Anderson. We just talked about him. They got him pinned at 37 points. I don't know that playing with Hanifin that he isn't going to get more than that. I say he's going to go above that. They've got Hanifin at 27. I'm pretty sure he'll go above that. They have Valimaki at 24. I'm afraid he'll be a little bit below that. They have Tanev at 20. I think that's about where he'll be. They have Shillington at 26. I think that's about where he'll be. Given that he gets a chance, I think he's going to get a chance. I just don't know. We have so many defensemen to go around. I just don't know if the minutes are there and if he's going to be the guy that falls out or maybe Valimaki falls out. It's going to be really tough to see and very interesting to watch and see what happens with that. Zadorov, they got him for 15. I think he'll get more than 15. They've got Gabranson for 12. I think he'll get less. Actually, I think he'll get about that. And they've got Stone for 10. I think he'll get just a little bit more than that because injuries happen, and Stone's that guy that can fill in. But it's going to be interesting to see how it works out with how many defensemen we're going to be able to keep. Are we going to keep 8 on this roster? It's really up in the air there. The air right now. There's even talk on Saturday night that we dress 7 defensemen. We'll see how that all plays out. Forwards, we're going to cruise through these because we want to get into some team predictions also. Backlund, they've got him for 45. I don't know that he makes that mark this year. I'm a Michael Backlund fan. I'm watching his career points kind of taper every year, and I pray that I'm wrong there, but I'm afraid he'll be a little bit below 45. Blake Coleman, they've got him pinned at 37. With his price tag, I hope to hell he gets more than that. The pressure's on him to really step up into that top 6 role, a role that he hasn't had to play in the last couple years. Can he do it? That's a huge question mark in Calgary. I loved what I saw in the preseason. The game he got suspended in, I loved the spark that we saw that night. And I pray that he brings that day in and day out, and we're going to have great things from Coleman. And I think he'll get above 37. Dylan Dubé, they got him pegged at 40. I think he'll get a little more than that, and that's great news. They've got Johnny Gaudreau pegged at 62. I think he'll get right around there, maybe slightly below that. It's all going to depend on the next number, Sean Monahan. They've got him pinned at 65, and I think he does more than that. I said it earlier in the show. I got him pegged for 36 goal this year. My hopes are high for Sean Monahan, and he better not... He better not let me down. It's been too many times in the last couple of years where I've been really, really upset with him. Lindholm, they got him pegged for 73. I think he'll get a little more than that. Mangiapane, they got him pegged at 65. Fully capable. Love Andrew Mangiapane. I think he will fall just slightly below that. Tkachuk, they have at 66. I think he'll be a slight below that. Godden at 23. That's a push. I think he'll be down a little bit below that. I don't think that he'll get the offensive zone faceoffs and offensive zone possession to be able to carry that point total. Lewis, they got at 23 points. There's no way. Richie, they've got at 19. I don't think there's any way. Pitlick, they've got at 18. And there is definitely possible there. Let's go through the comments so far. And Tavish asks the question, what about Shillington practicing as a forward? I kind of like the idea and have of possibly having him as a bottom 6 player. You know, I saw that too and talked to a couple people about it. And I don't know that we're going to see him in a forward role. I definitely like his skating. But I think that's so key to the defense. When you look at our defensive core, which I'm not ripping on it like many of the Calgary Flames fans are, Yes, I'm with you. Zadorov looks really slow, and Gudbranson looks not good at all. And I'm with you on the Gudbranson thing. I think Zadorov will surprise. But we need Shillington's speed on the back end, don't we? We need Valimaki or Shillington to be able to step up and bring that presence and bring that speed. So I don't know that we're going to see him on forward. I don't know if he was just filling a spot for an injured player during practice. I think that's probably a little bit more of where we're going to be. Corey Fry writes, seems Sutter wants Monahan to get better soon. Well, I think we all do, don't we? I think Monahan is kind of the, he's one guy that we really need to bounce back this year. Another guy that would really help if he bounced back would be Matthew Tkachuk. And, I guess we'll see there, but, I really, really hope that, we can at least get a couple of these guys back on track, especially Monahan. If we can have him in that second center role and get him clicking, that would be really good. Corey also writes, GM in trouble. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a mid-season firing of Brad Treliving, but I definitely agree that we're going to have to make the playoffs this year. Sutter and him are around for one more year after this, and we'll see what happens. One thing I know a lot of people rip on Treliving and say, well, he doesn't make the move. He does. He's made more moves, bigger moves than a lot of general managers have. And, I think he does make the moves, and I think he has the balls to make the moves. I think he's tried hard this summer to make some moves, and I don't think there's a hell of a lot of moves out there to make. Backup goalies look pretty good. Yeah, I agree. I think we're good there. Obviously still a question mark until we see, regular season play. I don't know. I'm fully confident. Let's put it that way. I'm going to have to comment further on that later on in the show, or not in the show, in this season, once we get a few games in and a few games under his belt. But, so far, Vladar has been just fine in my book. And I think that's going to be a huge thing, because we're living in a league where we're going to need to see him 20 games this year. And if he can get us 10 wins out of those 20, we're going to be sitting really, really good. All right, let's roll in and let's talk a little bit about some team predictions and talk about how is this team going to do and where are we going to finish in the Pacific. And I talked a little bit about it this morning on my Flame Shorts. I don't know if you've checked those out, but yeah, new little segment we have during the middle of the week, some little short clips of some thoughts, ideas, complaints, whatever I got going in my mind. We do some quick video snippets, but yeah, the Pacific Division, and let's go through where I think everybody's going to finish. I think Vegas will take first. I've got the Edmonton Oilers, albeit a bad back end, but they have free years. I think they will squeak out a second place in the Pacific. I've got the Vancouver Canucks reviving themselves after their COVID-crazed year they had in Vancouver to take third. I have our Calgary Flames in fourth. I do have them making the playoffs. Anaheim in fifth. I love what their youth movement is doing in Anaheim. I think good things are coming down the wave in Anaheim. LA I've got in sixth. I also like their youth too. The expansion Seattle Kraken I have in seventh. I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. I like their back end. I worry about their scoring. And Grubauer, to me, hasn't shown, or proved to me, I guess, would be probably a better term, that he can carry the weight of an expansion franchise. It's a little easier to do it when you have Marc-Andre Fleury. Plus, I thought Vegas had more depth than Seattle does, too. So a couple things working in that favor. In eighth, I have the San Jose Sharks. The San Jose Sharks are awful, and they're not going to get better as this season goes, and I don't think I'm wrong on this prediction at all. they are very aged and very overpriced. And it's going to be a tough, tough, tough go in San Jose. I got them finishing eighth. I got Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver, and the Flames making the playoffs. I would love to finish above Edmonton and Vancouver, as people are commenting in the comment section. But I don't know this year. This Flames team could take second. This team, Flames team, could take seventh. I seriously think there's that much of a variance that unfortunately could happen this year, but time will tell on that one, and we'll see. So how many points are we going to get this year? In 2018-2019, this team racked up 107 points and won the Western Conference. I said it earlier in the show, everybody that year had career years. Things were great. The next year was a slightly shortened season. When you figure it out based on an 82-game season, we would have got 92.5, which in most years, I think, gets you into the playoffs. Last year, if you would have prorated it to an 82-game season, it's an 80.5 campaign for the Flames, and it was not a good year last year. Extremely disappointing, and just not good. Not good at all. Well, where are we going to be this year? I look at it, I think we're going to finish in fourth. I don't think we're going to be far behind third. I think we're going to be sitting at 92 points, enough to get us into the playoffs this year. And, yeah, it's going to be a hard fought year. Corey writes slow starts and he thinks we'll get 95 points. And that's pretty close to where I'm at. And I don't disagree at all on that one. I think it's so critical that we get off to a good start this year. You know, they say that you can't win your division or make the playoffs in October and November, but you sure as hell can get yourself out of the playoffs in a hurry. And anytime you can get up right away and get yourself into a playoff spot in the standings right away and you watch yourself in that playoff spot, it's easier to stay in that, and it's extra motivation to stay in that. A big start this year is really going to be important in Calgary, especially with confidence wavering after last year's struggles. Western prediction, unfortunately, I'm not predict Calgary getting out of the first round of the playoffs. I've got Vegas playing Colorado in the Western Conference Finals, with Vegas winning the Western Conference, and I have Vegas winning a Stanley Cup this year. A lot riding on Robin Lehner, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. And that'll be interesting to see how that all goes. So in Vegas, where does Vegas have the Flames? To win the Stanley Cup, you can bet on the Flames anywhere between plus 4,000 and plus 6,000. For the Western Conference, the Flames are plus 1,600 to plus 2,200. For the Pacific, to win the Pacific, the Flames are plus 1,200 to plus 1,400. So that being said, if you went on to BetUS tonight, which has the Flames plus 5,000 to win a Stanley Cup, you put $100 down on it, it's a $5,000 payday. Is this a team to bet on? I don't know about winning a Stanley Cup, but I do know that if we can get to the playoffs, a Sutter team can go all the way. Where does everybody else stand in the Pacific Division? Anaheim would be a hell of a payday. They're plus 15,000 currently. Edmonton plus 400. Los Angeles plus 2,500. San Jose plus 4,000. Seattle plus 800, which to me that's an awful pick. Vancouver plus 1,600. That might be a good one to lay some money down on. And Vegas a minus 170. Everybody thinks Vegas is winning the Pacific. And yeah, so does the Vegas odds makers. Tavish puts he's at a low 90s also. He sees Tkachuk turning it around with fans being there. I think that'll be a big factor. I really do. I like that comment. Tkachuk feeds off that, and I agree with you there. Johnny turning around because of a contract year. He needs to if he wants the money. You know, I agree with you, Tavish. He does need that. Unfortunately, GMs are crazy, and they'll pay him. I just pray it's not us overpaying him. Now, if we can sign Gaudreau, I'm good with that. But we cannot overpay Gaudreau. And quite honestly, at $7 million, is he worth that right now? I don't know. I want to see something in the playoffs from him. I want to see a consistent year this year from him. I'm not against Johnny Gaudreau. I'm not against Johnny Gaudreau playing for the Flames next year. I just don't want to overspend on him so that we're hogtied and have to wonder how the hell we're going to pay Tkachuk, how we're going to pay all these other guys. You know, we can't put ourselves into a position of no cap at all and then not have Gaudreau producing. It's just a scary proposition, and hopefully, I hope we don't get ourselves into that problem. All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of news. We will get to some more viewer questions here in just a little bit. So fire those questions into the comment box. I appreciate everybody watching here tonight live, and I'll answer questions as we go here after we get through the news and through the divisions so far. We got some news from the division. Roster news. Right now, after the opening roster submission, the Flames have 30,000 in cap space. Currently have 23 players, 13 forwards, 8 defensemen, 2 goalies on that opening night roster. Richardson on IR, and this does include the never-ending cap hit for the buyout for Brouwer of 1.5. So where are we? What do we have? So let's quickly roll through the roster for opening night. Goalies, Markstrom, Vladar. Defensemen, there's 8 of them. Anderson, Valimaki, Tanev, Zadorov, Stone, Gabranson, Hanifin, and Shillington. Forwards, 14 forwards, one of them being on IR. That's Brad Richardson. We also have Backlund, Gaudreau, Lucic, Pitlick, Tkachuk, Coleman, Lewis, Monahan, Richie, Lindholm, Dubé, Gaudin, and Mangiapane. Byron, Fraze, Kirkland were put on waivers. They cleared. Dewar, Kirkland, Fraze, Mackey, Werner were all assigned to Stockton. Coleman, don't forget, is suspended for game 1. Zari, Kinneval are still injured, and Pitlick is skating, but skating on his own, so he's still day-to-day, but sounds like it's going to be a little bit of time there, and Richardson is on IR to start the season. I don't have an update on how long that'll be. Hopefully Pitlick sooner. Richardson sounds like it's going to be a little bit longer with a lower body injury. Also news out of Flames camp that Michael Stone was not practicing yesterday due to COVID-19 protocols. I'm not sure where that's at currently today. I've seen no news, heard no talk on that one. That'll be interesting to see where that one goes. A few players taking maintenance days. People were freaking out a little bit about that, but Backlund wasn't there yesterday. All maintenance. Sutter said that he was going to make sure that every player got just a little bit of maintenance over the week, so that they took advantage of this break. Not an ideal time for maybe to have a full week with no games, but if you're going to get it, you need to make sure going in that everybody is rested, ready to roll, because that camp was pretty intense with games very, very, very frequently. In the division, so far the Pacific is, there's not many games played. Anaheim 1-0, Vegas 1-0, Edmonton 1-0. Vancouver got a bonus point for losing in a shootout, so they have 1 point. Seattle is a team that is winless at 0-1. I believe they are playing later tonight also. We'll see where that Pacific division shakes out. Calgary, the last team to get going in the division, as they will get rolling Saturday night. Let's talk a little bit about scheduling. And scheduling is one of the things that really, it's a bitch of a job to do for the league and everything. So, I mean, I'm not freaking out on the poor guy that has to do it, but there's some disadvantages this year. And in a year where we're condensed because of the Olympic break, because of the All-Star break, which I can't, why are we doing both here? I don't understand. But we're going to have like 3 weeks off in February. There's a lot of back-to-backs. Let's break it down. The Islanders are getting the short end of the stick here. Not only do they start on a 12-game roadie, they've got 19 back-to-backs. Now, on a positive, they don't have a lot of travel there. A lot of teams are right in their backyard. With 17 back-to-backs, Arizona, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and the Kings from our division. 16 is Columbus. 15, you got Chicago, Dallas, Nashville, New Jersey, the Rangers, and Seattle, another team from our division. With 14, the Flames. We have 14 back-to-backs. Carolina, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, and Ottawa also have that. And at 13, Anaheim from the Pacific, Boston, St. Louis, Toronto, and Washington. With 12, Pittsburgh, San Jose from the Pacific, Tampa Bay, Vancouver, and Vegas, both from the Pacific. So most teams have 12. Calgary has 14. LA, 17. 11 is Colorado, Montreal, Winnipeg. Nobody from our division. And yeah, the Edmonton Oilers. 8 back-to-backs. We have 14. The Oilers have 8. I don't want to hear anybody in Edmonton bitching anymore. That's crazy. Ugh, frustrating. Before we get to some more listener questions, please fire those off. Let's do a Facebook poll. This week, actually yesterday, it was only 24 hours ago, I put up a poll up on Flames Hub and the Calgary Flames official Facebook fan club. Now, if you're on Facebook, you have to go be members of these groups. This is where you talk Flames hockey every single day during the games, all the good stuff. Get on over to Flames Hub, join that group, and get on over to Calgary Flames official Facebook fan club. Well, I got 258 responses to my poll of what place will the Flames finish in the Pacific Division this year. Now, I gave you mine. I said they're going to finish fourth. What do the listeners think? Well, for first, I got 35 votes. 14% think we'll finish first. That would be wonderful, but highly unlikely. Second was 38 with 15%. In third was 95. This was the leader. Third place, 37%. That's a push, but could happen. Could happen. Vancouver, Edmonton struggle a little bit. That could happen. In fourth, where I had them pegged, 61 people said that. 24% of the viewers had them in fourth. In fifth, only 12, 5%. In sixth, only 10, 4%. In seventh, only one person voted for that, basically fell into the zero percentile. And in eighth, 6% said that, 1%. So the Flames fans, as negative and as critical as we've been in this preseason, wondering what the hell our hockey team is, the vast majority, roughly 90%, have them finishing in the top four. That's not too bad. Hopefully they don't let us down and we can finish in the top four. All right, let's go to the Facebook questions. And I see here, trade Johnny to New Jersey. He disappears in the playoffs. He does. And I've been, I've probably been the biggest critic of Johnny Gaudreau that there is. I don't hate Johnny Gaudreau. I get frustrated with his style, I guess. And I know his size isn't conducive to being a hard-nosed, gritty player. But sometimes I think you need to stick it a little bit harder and work a little bit harder in the dirty areas to make things happen. And I think he gives up on plays a little bit too quick. And sometimes I think he's scared. And you see that a ton, and it disappears in the playoffs. And a lot of that is fear. And, you know, when is Gaudreau great? Gaudreau is great in the power play. Well, one of the things that happens to you when you're on the power play is you don't get hit very often. It's funny how that works, right? Corey writes, the Flames got bigger this year. They did. And it's a product of Sutter. And that's okay. I like the Zadorov signing. I know some people will send me hate mail for saying that. But I think he's going to be a factor this year. I don't know about Gudbranson. I hope he surprises me. I hope so. Up front, you know, Coleman's not a huge guy, but he brings grit. Pitlick, I'm high on Pitlick. I'm not on Richardson. I don't see how this guy fits in. I did not like him in camp. I did not like the signing when I first saw it. But we'll see what happens there. Lewis, I understand that signing with him being so deeply tied, to Sutter and almost being like a player coach. I get where he fits and he'd be a fine fourth line winger. We'll see how that all plays out. Tavish puts at this point after a few up and down season, what do we consider a successful season? I think fourth or better is a successful season. I hope that fourth or better gets us into the playoffs. A lot of people think that five will come out of the Central and three will come out of the Pacific. But what a lot of people forget is if San Jose struggles, if Seattle struggles, if LA struggles, if Anaheim struggles, or any of those mix there's going to be some teams that beat up on teams in the Pacific Division. And that's going to be added points. And it may not be just less third points gained. And that being said, might be able to push some of these players, some of these teams into a higher point total, giving them that four spot over a team out of the Central. So I think we'll see 4-4 there, and hopefully the Flames can get into the top four. And that's what I would consider a successful season would be a top four and making the playoffs. And boy, I sure hope that happens this year. Thanks for all the questions. I love the live questions, and hopefully we can keep those questions rolling every single show so that the more interaction we have with the fans, the better, and I really, really enjoy that.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, we've been waiting forever to be able to preview a game, a regular season game. A regular season game with fans in the stands. And we get it just 48 hours from now as Calgary heads down to Edmonton for a 9 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Mountain hockey night in Canada. It's the Battle of Alberta, and what a wild way to start the season. Edmonton 1-0 as they beat Vancouver Wednesday night in a shootout in a great, great game where Mike Smith was flat out amazing. McDavid was rolling. Dreisaitl was good. I thought Puljujärvi was a really good player. It'll be interesting to see how these Oilers are this year. I think they have a lot more depth, and I think they're going to be a little bit more of a handful this year. I still question their back end. I think they can be exploited there. And if they don't get strong goaltending, maybe they don't finish in that second place spot. It all starts for the Flames Saturday night. And, yeah, Battle of Alberta. Then we have Sunday off, come back home Monday for a home opener against the Anaheim Ducks. They are also 1-0. As they won their first game. That game, 7:30 Mountain Time at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. The home opener against the Ducks on Monday night. Then the Flames go out on a 6-game road trip out east that takes them through a bunch of different 6 games. So six of the first 7 games are on the road, or is it seven of the first eight are on the road. What a tough way to start the season, but let's get through it. And then we have a lot more home games at the Saddle Dome here at Flames Unfiltered. We're doing it again this year. We are, doing the hot mic watch parties. And we did this last year, and we did it on, I think, 8 occasions last year. We're scheduled to do 10 this year. What is it? It is a watch party where we use the Hot Mic app. We watch the Flames game together. We talk Flames stuff. We meet new Flames fans. I give away a bunch of Calgary Flames hockey cards. And we have some contests to see who scores the Flames' first goal. If you guess it right, you get entered in to win some gift cards this year. All kinds of different things. Watch for further details and join in on the fun. That all gets going October 28th when the Flames visit the Pittsburgh Penguins. That seems like a long time ago, or a long time from now, but it is not. It'll be here before you know it. Yeah. This has been a long week waiting for this season to get going, but just 48 hours from now, we finally drop the puck on another great Flames season. Well, thanks again for watching Flames Unfiltered. Thanks for the listener questions during the show. It's a lot more fun when I get to interact, talk with you. We go through some questions. We're back again next week. We usually do the shows Wednesday night. We're back next Wednesday night for another live show. Check out flamesunfiltered.com to find out just where you can see us, just when you can see us, as I'll post the live times up on there. Thank you to all the listeners. We truly appreciate it. Help us out. Get on over to social media. Follow us at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review us, subscribe. We love the good reviews. We need them. We love it. Flames hockey, it's back. Saturday night's the big Battle of Alberta. We need 2 points to start the season off. Let's go Flames. See you next week to talk a little bit more of Flames hockey. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.